Hey, it's time for that wacky Tom Casper and our tips for hardy gardeners. Boy, I've got a tip for hardy gardeners right now. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Don't go to the garden center right now because stuff's on sale. And you have this sense that this is a fabulous, fabulous deal. I really, really was just going to get some bags of mulch yesterday. That was really all I was going to go get. That was it. Didn't quite work out that way. Okay, that's my tip. The end. Yeah. Yeah. So what should gardeners be doing to keep themselves out of trouble? Looking for alleged bargains?
Well, that is a good question, because now is the time of year when a lot of the greenhouses are starting to discount what they have left and plants that they don't want to take care of over the winter time. So it's a good time if you're looking to expand a garden or add a tree or things like that, if they have something you like, or if you're just going to casually look without anything specific in mind and you see something that strikes your interest. And really, it's a good time to plant, too. So a lot of times people think that spring is really the only time that you can plant. So if you don't get out and get it in the ground in May or early June, that you've lost the season. And of course, years ago, that was the case with most of the plants that we were provided. Choices were really coming in as bare root plants. But now a lot of them are containerized and have been growing in a pot and have a good, healthy root system already. So certainly any time during the season, and even as we get into the fall is a great time to plant as well. So there's still, for gardeners who are thinking about still wanting to add a tree or do some landscape renovations or divide perennials, there's still months left in time as far as getting it to be able to do that. So really September and October really are ideal, because the air temperature is a lot cooler, so the plant isn't losing as much moisture. Soil temperatures are warmer, so it's encouraging the plant to grow roots into the warm soil. And it's, of course, a lot easier to keep watered without some of the high air temps that we experience during July and tomorrow.
Yeah, July and tomorrow. Yeah. Exactly. Do you encourage gardeners? I don't know. I'm talking about hardcore gardeners now. Do they spend enough time sitting in a comfy chair, perhaps in the shade, just admiring their yard, their garden, what they've created? I'm just getting started on a wildflower garden, and the only bloom I have had so far, with the exception of the wild onion, the only bloom I've had so far, Carol Andrews put her head in her hands and she said, "It's a weed." it wasn't really supposed to be there. But even so, I just can't help just sitting on the setting porch and looking at it and just looking at it. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's so cool.
Yeah.
There's no flowers, but it's pretty.
Yeah, it's something you're creating, and it's art. A lot of people do, it seems like as I got more and more into gardening, I spent less and less time sitting and looking, because I had more and more to take care of. I think back to my yard and think about all these places I created to sit and enjoy the garden, and I don't recall ever sitting at them, because there was always something to do in the yard. So I think as a lesson for people, if they are going to get further into gardening, is to commit that time and space to being able to sit back and have that sitting porch and have that bench that they actually use and enjoy the garden, you know, rather than just work in it, so, which is an enjoyment as well, but to also take the time to enjoy what you're doing.
Well, birds and butterflies, I mean, of course, you know, maybe some, you've got some things, you know, in your garden that you don't want in your garden. But birds and butterflies come. There were some big fat bees that thought the wild onion blossoms were kind of cool and neato. And it was just so much fun to sit and watch and just enjoy, I guess, even though it's, you know, it's still kind of scraggly and young and sparse. But, you know, it's kind of getting there eventually. I mean, a start has been made. We're pretty excited.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the great part of it, and then starting to see nature come and find it. Lots of sphinx moths around, folks commenting on them on different forums, but seeing a lot of those, but it's a recent newcomer to our gardens that folks might have not seen yet this year. So there's always something changing in the garden, and it's always interacting in a different way with us, whether it is with an insect or a bird or an animal coming through, whatever it happens to be, create another opportunity to enjoy the garden in a different way.
So you garden, of course, for a living, so you're not doing much sitting. What are you up to these days? What are you encouraging gardeners other than, you know, taking time to stop and smell the metaphorical roses?
Well, a lot of people start to see their annuals starting to get a little tired this time of year, and there really isn't any reason for that other than if we're tired. So a couple of things that I often talk to people about is how are you maintaining your annuals? So things like marigolds and petunias and impatiens and on and on and on, snapdragons. A lot of times start to go out of bloom now and start to look a little scraggly, and people start thinking, I can't wait for fall so I can rip that out. But they really don't have to. Annuals, of course, are heavy feeders. So if you keep fertilizing them, and there's organic and inorganic products around that people can use that are both effective, just depending on what your personal preference is. And then the other big thing is to keep them deadheaded, which is an interesting term, but it's a gardening term for removing those spent flowers from the plant. So if you don't remove those spent flowers, and certainly hanging baskets are the biggest challenge because they're elevated and maybe a little more difficult to get to, but
you know, a lot of people are really clever with those, though. They've got them on a pulley system so that it's easy for them to water them, because there are some extraordinarily clever people out there in the universe.
Yeah. So rigging up a system like that or being able to lower it down so you can work around it, certainly on a ladder if need be, safely on a ladder if need be, and getting in and deadheading those routinely. And by deadheading, meaning taking off the spent flowers. But what you have to do or make sure you're doing when you're doing that deadheading is including the removal of those seeds that are developing at the back of the flower. So in the case of petunias, there's a little, there's the flower, and then there's the little portion of the flower that attaches to the stem of the plant. And you want to make sure that you get that little portion right behind the flower as well. So a lot of people just pluck off the flowers and they end up leaving the seeds. Well, if the seeds are left, that's in essence telling the plant, okay, you've done your job, you can start to shut down. So by deadheading, we're actually tricking those plants into blooming again. So by doing routine deadheading of those plants, we'll inspire it or tell it needs to produce more flowers, to produce more seeds, to continue its mark in the world, so to speak. So we're tricking those plants by deadheading them for them to keep flowering and keep providing beauty in our landscape.
Okay, so far we've mentioned the word deadhead several times, and now we're talking about basically lying to plants and manipulating them psychologically into continuing to produce blossoms. The more I learn about gardening, the less comfortable I am with it sometimes.
It's a beautiful thing.
And he laughs. The gardening is not for the faint of heart. I'm just saying.
No, last year we talked a lot about the assault on bugs, and it was life and death.
Yeah.
And, And now this year we're celebrating the deadheading.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is life and death.
How to take brutal advantage of a being that is not as mentally sophisticated as you are, nor does it have opposable thumbs.
Yes, I think they're actually more sophisticated than I am.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you wish sometimes you could deadhead people? Like you could sort of pinch this part off and it would come back smarter and brighter and whatever?
Yeah, I think you might be onto something.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, every so often I think this radio feature is maybe tiptoeing into dangerous territory. This could be one of those mornings, TK. Anyway, it's good to talk to you, dude. And yeah, so just look for the truck that's driving around town. It's black and it's got like a skull on it, and that's probably Tom Casper.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm the Grateful Dead header.
Exactly. Yeah, a bunch of teddy bears with these little wilted blooms in their hands. I like it.
I like it too.
All right, TK, thanks for joining us. We'll talk in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Tom Casper this morning, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners right here. And I mean, we mean hardy gardeners, physically, mentally, emotionally, right here on 103.3 KUMD.